This is Gerald Everett, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, and joining me today is the Trash Man, who called me up at probably 6:30 at the crack of dawn this morning. We're recording a little earlier than usual, saying he wanted to talk about late round running back and wide receiver targets that he's getting in his early drafts and various simulations. So I said, all right, Trash Man, we can do it. That sounds awful early. I'm taking care of my son today, but we'll schedule out a little bit of time because you really, really, really want to talk about this one particular topic.
Yeah, thanks for obliging me, Alex.
So we will talk about that. But first, I want to just kind of go over some news and notes. Also kind of let people know some scheduling stuff. For this next week, I'll be on vacation for next week before we really get back into the swing of things after the 4th of July. So probably no podcasts next week, but coming into that week of July 5th, we'll have some announcements about what's going on with radio for Roster Watch, not only for the training camp tour, but also for the end season and sort of business season, July and August stuff that should be exciting to hear about. We'll be picking up the podcasts with probably a guest one day a week, and then one day a week we'll have either Byron or Trashman or maybe Alan or, you know, one of the Roster Watch guys on there. So the podcasts will be picking up starting after July 5th, but next week I'll be on vacation. So if you can just stick with us there, Trashman. A bunch of news to get to, a bunch of notes to get to. What do you think about this? Sammy Watkins, Jameson Hensley, who covers the Ravens for ESPN, is saying that Sammy Watkins is the best wide receiver at minicamp. Your thoughts?
I mean, does it really matter who the best wide receiver on the Ravens is?
No, well, he's just going far. Right? He's going for free in drafts.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he's worth a 15th round pick, 14th, 15th round pick.
Is Sammy Watkins still even Sammy Watkins?
But was Sammy Watkins ever really Sammy Watkins?
Yeah, he was for like a year or two in Buffalo.
I mean, I don't know if he ever really lived up to the potential that, you know, he was hyped up to be.
Sammy Watkins was Sammy Watkins at the combine.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's never lived up to the potential that he was hyped up, you know, to have in college, well, coming out of college. So I feel like anything you get out of Sammy Watkins is a bonus at this point. Good luck getting anything consistent out of him on that Ravens offense. It seems like it will be a hair pulling enterprise to
even Trash Man can't
start
even
Sammy Watkins.
Even Trash Man can't
on a regular basis.
Come on, man.
I mean, no. He'll be in the garbage grab. He'll be in the garbage grab probably multiple times. But starting him with any consistency, I mean, I got to see it to believe it in that Ravens offense.
Do you need to see it to believe it with Mac Jones? We have the reporting coming out from Sports Illustrated that he's been the best quarterback. There for the Patriots. Now it's starting to feel like there could be a chance that he really is, you know, going to enter the season the starter. You've been a longtime Cam Newton apologist. What do you think? Are you worried at all about Mac Jones for your?
Yes, I mean, in my recent AFC East position battles piece, I talked about Mac Jones versus Cam Newton, and I think that is going to be a real competition. Cam. As someone who watches Cam, you know, yearly and his production, he's not the man he used to be. He's that kryptonite has finally gotten to him. It seems
He's looked like a hot trash fire at certain points. Do you remember the Seattle game last year? That was the one game where he looked like the old Superman.
Yeah, he looked good that game. And the thing is, if Cam Newton is good, Cam Newton's going to be good for Cam Newton. Like, I don't see him being a boon for any of these receivers on his team. Maybe a couple of the tight ends. I think he's going to be good. I think it would be good for the tight ends, possibly, and the pass catching.
That's the offense.
Well, I know, but if we're talking about getting some production out of a Nelson Aguilar,
Mac Jones is going to throw darts to Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, and he's going to take shots to Nelson Aguilar. He's going to be so much better than Cam. Let me just tell you now, Mac Jones is going to win the job. He's just going to win
And we know from Bill Belichick, he has no reservations about putting an unknown or untested, you know, quarterback under center if he thinks that's going to be his best option.
What about just some of these headlines? So The Athletic had the article about the expectations for David Montgomery for the Bears this year. Adam Johns is saying that he's going to surpass his 2020 numbers as far as rushing. To me, I worry about I looked at the targets earlier. I believe it was he had 35 targets in 2019. And I remember thinking it was almost double that in 2020. I'd have to go back and look, but it was like if it wasn't 70, it was 69 or 68, something like that. I'm not sure that the receiving stuff's going to be there, especially with Tariq Cohen coming back. And I believe they've also added Damian Williams.
They added Damian Williams. I mean, it's Tariq Cohen. He's actually one of the guys I was going to talk about later in this podcast. I feel like Tariq Cohen's healthy. I don't see David Montgomery reaching those numbers. I don't know what he's basing those prospects on.
Well, I think it's probably the same thing. Like, we had Mike Kay on the other day, and I'm sure that you've listened to every episode of the podcast
religiously.
But anyway, since I know that you didn't listen to that, I'll tell you what he said. He was talking about Miles Sanders, and he was saying, you know, he thinks that with Kenny Gainwell coming there, they still like Boston Scott. They still have a whole lot of running backs, and just because Deuce Staley is gone there as running backs coach, and it's a new Nick Sirianni offense, et cetera, et cetera. He thinks that the committee is going to stay. He said though that Miles Sanders, he thought, was going to have a better rushing year this season, but he was worried about his receptions and his total overall yardage. To me, maybe this report from Adam Johns feels similar to that. Like, maybe his total rushing number will go up. They've seen what he can do when given the bulk of carries, last season. But clearly we can't expect his receiving to go up whenever we know that Tariq Cohen is going to be there. It's like, I mean, you're not going to get those two guys on the field at the same time, I don't think.
No.
Whenever Cohen's out there, he's going to be out there to be used as a receiving weapon. He's the human joystick. So,
I think Damian Williams is a better pass catcher than Montgomery.
Montgomery had some really good catches.
So did Damian Williams.
That. Yeah, but Damian Williams sucks trash, man. What about this? Speaking of guys who suck, what does this even mean when it's when in The Athletic they said, for the Falcons page, they said that Cordarrelle Patterson is going to have a more traditional role this season. What is a traditional Cordarrelle Patterson role?
A couple rushing plays a game, a couple kick returns.
Just your traditional Cordarrelle Patterson stuff. What does that even mean?
One deep ball attempt. No, that's it's asinine.
What does that even mean? Staying in that part of the world, the same division at least. Antonio Brown. Now it's looking like his probation is over. And Byron and I have talked a lot about Antonio Brown and us really liking him in like the eighth round of these drafts. I'm not sure he's going to be able to stay there for that long as people begin to realize, you know, he's Antonio Brown. I mean, he's gotten older. He's clearly not who he used to be. But, I mean, we're talking about a guy that – is it hyperbole to talk about him like him being – he was on sort of a Hall of Fame-ish track? If you just look at his pure statistics, like, let me just look this up as far as, like, what are the top receiving yards seasons in NFL history? And, I mean, it's got – Antonio Brown has had a couple of just absolutely monster seasons.
I mean, and this is another guy I was going to talk about later in the podcast. I feel like people right now, you can get Antonio Brown – a lot cheaper than he's actually going to, you know, pay out for you in fantasy right now. Jesus. Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown went for $16.98 in 2014. Antonio Brown. So he has the number four and the number nine all time seasons. So, all right. So here's the top four: Calvin Johnson, 2012, 1964, Julio Jones, 2015, 1871, Jerry Rice, 1995, 1848, Antonio Brown, 2015, 1834. And then in 2014, he had the 1698, which was good for ninth all time. So, I mean, we're talking about a guy that, I mean, people throw around generational. Antonio Brown, I mean, certainly generational. He is going to be age 32 for this season. And I believe he'll turn 33 on July 10th because he was born.
Thing is, he's in that kind of Marvin Harrison kind of mold where, you know,
and Tom Brady loves him.
He doesn't really win off of his speed. He's always been a guy who, you know, figured out how to get open. And being undersized, be not maybe as fast as some of the other speedsters in the NFL. And you go back, like, I remember in scouting Antonio Brown and realizing that his father is the best arena football wide receiver of all time. So he's got the pedigree. I mean, if people have short memories and just, you know, take his off-field difficulties with a grain of salt, yeah, I mean, to me, he's an easy shoe-in for Hall of Fame.
Hold on. What? Antonio Brown, so on his Pro Football Reference page, they have his kind of his nicknames next to it. His nicknames are AB. I mean, you know one of them, Mr. Big Chest. But what is what is this one? What is I've totally forgot. What does Ronald Ocean mean? What is that?
Was that,
is that
when
some
he
got to Ron Mexico? What I, is
was
that?
Was that when he was like dressed up, like changed his hair and wore a gold suit?
Ronald Ocean. I'm gonna have to look that up. I bet you that there's some listeners to the pod. So this was something that he told the there was a while that he called himself Ronald Ocean, and Ben Roethlisberger, when asked about it, said he had no clue why. He said he was calling him Billy for some reason.
Well, it's called Billy Ocean because of Billy Ocean, the singer. Yeah,
Get out
of my dreams and into my car.
Okay. Well, let's trash me. Let's get out of this news segment.
Caribbean Queen.
Was there anything? Do you have anything to say about this trashy Gerald Everett news? Do you care anything about Pete Carroll saying that Gerald Everett's going to be the breakout guy for the Seahawks this year?
Yeah. I think there's some validity to that. I mean, you think about how much they liked a guy like Will Disley, who wasn't really an exceptional talent at tight end, you know, and up until he got hurt, I think he was running as a top five tight end at one point in the season at a stretch. So I feel Gerald Everett, you know, for all intents and purposes, is going to be at least, you know, a decent streamer at the tight end position, if that's the way that they're using him. And he's going to have a pretty high ceiling there, I think.
So Shane Waldron is the new offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks, where he was, and he came from the Rams. So that's, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good sign that, you know, the new offensive coordinator has that familiarity with Gerald Everett. We love Gerald Everett, you know, going, I mean, I think you were there at his Senior Bowl. That was a good Senior Bowl there for tight ends that year. And Gerald Everett was one that really stood out to us. All right. Before we get to some of your late round picks, Trash Man, I wanted to see if I can just go over to Fantasy Pros and use their mock draft wizard here to run a simulation. I've uploaded version 1.3 of the PPR cheat sheet over there, and I will get my screen shared here so we can go through a draft and you guys can see how the cheat sheet is drafting right now. As I mentioned, a small breaking content next week, although we'll keep getting stuff up on the site from Trash Man, from Alan and Ani and our great contributors over there, but no new tools. The tools will be starting to really get cranked up. I mean, even behind the scenes right now, our developers are beginning to work on updating some of them and getting them back fully online and automated. But I think I'm going to have the running back strength of schedule up. There were a couple of wide receiver strength of schedule things I wanted to talk to you about, Trash Man, actually before we get to your late round picks. And the running backs will be up this week. I've just now pulled in all the data, and I'm working through that to get that list completely done. But most of the focus has been on testing this damn sheet. Trash Man, you know what kind of Jesus. You know how much this how maniacal I get about going over this thing. So let's share the screen here. This will be a 12-team PPR draft, the snake draft. You can see here, if you're watching on YouTube, the roster positions will be one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, one tight end. We'll have two flexes that'll be running back, wide receiver, or tight end. We'll be drafting against all the experts on Fantasy Pros and also the composite ADPs of Fantrax, RT Sports, Fantasy Football Calculator, the composite of those, and then also the composite Best Ball ADP, along with the pre-draft rankings that are already up from Yahoo, ESPN, and NFL.com. So basically, baking in everything that you're going to be drafting against or that your opponents are going to be using against you. As you know, the cheat sheet is not a set of rankings. It is a it's a way to leverage versus ADP and create a good, well-balanced team. It's still getting through some of the kinks. No one's really using it just yet, but this is an important time for us to just be testing it, make sure it's going the way that it should be going, maybe identify players we're getting too much of, too little of, et cetera. So I'll be interested to hear your feedback here, Trash Man. Is there a particular spot you want me to pick from?
Let's pick from the four.
I hate that spot. Okay, but we'll pick from the four. This will be a Derrick Henry team, I bet. We'll see.
Does that hurt you?
No. It looks like it'll actually be a Kamara team. So don't mind starting out here with Alvin Kamara. We'll get our roster pulled up here so we can know what we're doing as we get through here. So Joe Mixon will be the next pick here. Do you like taking Joe Mixon ahead of Antonio Gibson?
Yes.
I do too. I've received a little bit of pushback about that. God damn it. I hate this. I hate that Michael Thomas is going to be the pick here, but especially when, you know, we're worried a little bit about the Saints quarterback situation, but it won't always fall like that. We get a stud number one wide receiver, so it should be fine. Chris Carson looks like he'll be the next pick here. He hasn't been at minicamp, Trash Man. Do you care about the fact that they're saying that Alex Collins looks like he's been the best running back for the Seahawks at minicamp? Chris Carson. There is no Rashad Penny, of course, who's still recovering from his most recent surgery. What about your boy Penny Hart? He's been here in Texas training with Coach D-Rob. I watch him on Instagram almost every day. Can we get a big breakout finally?
Potentially. I mean, I definitely think that's well within the realm of possibilities. We've seen some volatility there at that position in the past.
What would you do here? So we only have one wide receiver so far. We have a choice here between Travis Etienne for the Jacksonville Jaguars or Brandon Ayuk. Just go ahead and taking him as our wide receiver two here with our fifth round pick.
I mean, I would go with Etienne.
and just hope something happens at wide receiver. I know we're going to get some wide receivers later.
I mean, as a trash man, wide receiver is the easiest position to, I think, fill in later. Yeah,
well, we'll see how it does with regarding how the sheet's built, but I think it's going to make us take another running back here because it's not going to let us go past Chase Edmonds. But I bet you this sheet guides us back toward wide receiver right after that. It looks like it's exactly what it's going to do. Our wide receiver two here is going to be Tyler Boyd. So this team is basically a New Orleans and Cincinnati stack type team so far. But yeah, it looks like more wide receivers here are coming. Brandon Cooks will be the next pick here. And then maybe we'll get our shot. No, we're not going to get our shot at AB. But Jarvis Landry is going to be – Jarvis Landry here at the 9.04 feels like an excellent value.
Yeah, that's solid.
Let's see. So our quarterback, we're going to take Jalen Hurts here at quarterback. What the sheet's going to do is probably give us Jalen Hurts as a starter, just with the upside there. I'll bet you it gives us a second quarterback later. Based on the simulations I've done so far, I'll bet you it's Ryan Tannehill. But anyway, so let's go ahead and take Jalen Hurts right here. The cheat sheet did pull through with getting us a bunch of wide receivers here after the big run of running backs. We'll take Nelson Aguilar. We talked about him as kind of the biggest outside threat. We talked a little bit about Sammy Watkins earlier, and with him being gone from KC, another guy we've been getting just a ton of has been Mecole Hardman, who I think is kind of
I'm in on Byron Pringle there.
You're on a Pringle. Okay. So we have a choice here between Stafford and Robert Tonyan. I'm just going to go ahead and take Tonyan here as my tight end.
Really?
Well, I could take Stafford and then just take Tyler Higbee next if he falls.
Yes, that would be my move.
Okay. Well, man, let me just take Tonyan just to make sure I get one, and then maybe we'll get Higbee as well. I don't want to be stuck without a tight end if Tonyan. All right, so we'll get Tonyan and Higbee. What we should have done is taken Higbee and Elijah Moore, isn't it?
Elijah Moore for sure.
So just Higbee, just leave him undrafted. No, yeah. It's only one last pick before kicker and defense.
Yeah, we got to take Elijah Moore there.
All right, so we take Elijah Moore. So you buy what you're hearing about Elijah Moore in practice, that he's looked like the best player on the whole team. He's looked like a better player than even like Mekhi Becton and some of their studs on defense. I mean, it's going to be dirt. It's going to be dirty for him. And do you know how it completely screws over your boy Denzel Mims? They're saying he's not a good fit for that offense.
Yeah, no, I read that. Then send him somewhere where he is.
yeah, man.
If Keelan Cole is a better fit for your offense, then I don't know how much I like your offense.
So that team is right. But what if it's Corey? Yeah, Corey Davis. Yeah, that's probably what it would be. What if it's Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, and Jamison Crowder? Since Jamison Crowder's coming back. And Elijah Moore just more as like a slot flanker type.
I mean, yeah, that's a possibility too. I mean, but Keelan Cole, he's been the one running as, you know, opposite Corey Davis.
Yeah.
All right. To this point,
here's the team by the epic, magical, mythical cheat sheet. Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. The running backs are Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon, Chris Carson, Travis Etienne, and Chase Edmonds. The wide receivers are Michael Thomas, Tyler Boyd, Brandon Cooks, Jarvis Landry, Nelson Aguilar, Mecole Hardman, and Elijah Moore. The tight end is Robert Tonyan. That was me drafting just completely off of the sheet and not deviating from it at all. That's how the cheat sheet works. It's magical. It's mystical. It's mythical. You get it with your subscription at Roster Watch, just like you get all of our tools, not only the season-long stuff, not only the draft stuff, but also the DFS stuff, all the other content, the exclusive podcasts, all that stuff is with the very cheap membership over at rosterwatch.com. We don't do this stuff where, you know, the draft kit's a separate membership than the in season, which is separate from DFS, which is separate from all the rest. So go give us a look over there at rosterwatch.com. Trash man, one quick thing just about wide receiver strength of schedule. And then I'm going to get to you about your late round favorite picks. We talked earlier about Brandon Ayuk. We didn't take him, but it looks like San Francisco's got the best schedule of all four opposing wide receivers. And it's also going to have a really good schedule as far as game script is concerned, just in general, because the opponents win totals for these guys. They have what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of their 17 games with teams projected with less than 7.5 wins this season. So they should be in good game scripts. Whenever you look at the San Francisco 49ers and you think about valuable pieces there, I mean, Brandon Ayuk sure seems like he is a good value where he's going right now when you can get him in the fifth and in the sixth round. But do we need to take into account whenever he had this screaming hot finish to last season? That was when George Kittle was in and out of the lineup. Debo Samuel was in and out of the lineup. You know, you get all those guys coming back. People are talking now about Jalen Hurd, just a complete post-hype sleeper. You know how much I love Jalen Hurd. I'm not sure how much he'll fit in. But just with – and sort of a quarterback changing to Trey Lance, which could be – I mean, it could be awesome. I don't know. But generally, we're a little bit wary with these situations involving rookie quarterbacks as far as just tempering our expectations as far as at least, you know, a bunch of these guys getting a bunch of big action. So where are you on the 49ers in general, knowing that? Also knowing that we have an ambiguous backfield with now becoming a little bit less ambiguous because Jeff Wilson, knowing that he'll miss the first, 6 to 8 weeks of the season, but we still have Raheem Mostert to talk about. We still have Trey Sermon to talk about. How are you handling these 49ers guys? And then let's get to your late round picks.
I mean, the thing is, I think that everybody is kind of approaching the 49ers the same way right now. So,
which is to avoid?
Yeah. I mean, not to avoid, but you know, it's like nobody is taking a lot of stock in the Ayuks, the Debo Samuels right now. I feel like because what was Ayuk drafted for? He was drafted for his ability to make moves after the catch. So, yeah. You know, I feel like even with a Trey Lance, if he's questionable,
that's how Debo was drafted for too. That's how.
Yeah, I know they're similar in kind of their skill sets, which is also kind of a conundrum there. You know, who do you take, Ayuk or Debo there? And I think really, I mean, it's whoever you get the best value from right now. And I feel like that's probably
who the new Jets coach. That's where the new Jets coach came from, Saleh. Right. And he brought the offensive staff from there. That's probably why they don't like Mims. He's thinking
maybe
he doesn't fit into that kind of mold. You know, he's not a Debo Samuel. He's not a Ayuk. He's not that kind.
There's Keelan Cole and I don't know. I don't get it. But
Elijah Moore is that guy's nutty with the
ball. maybe we see Jamison Crowder and Elijah Moore on the field a lot at the same time.
Okay, but all right, so back to the 49ers. I'm sorry. That just popped into my head. But then as far as the running backs, are you in on Sermon? I mean, you kind of like
him. This is one of the guys I was going to talk about later in the show.
All right, let's just transition into that part of the show. Let's talk about some of your later round picks.
One of them being Trey Sermon. I mean, he's got a pretty clear path to carries there in San Francisco.
You took a pretty liberal interpretation here of late round picks. Trey Sermon's going. I mean, I've seen him in the sixth round, seventh round, so he's more of a kind of a mid round. I guess as far as running backs are going,
if you're talking about his potential and what it is there in San Francisco, I think seventh round is good value on Trey Sermon.
Okay, we'll talk
about it. Do you disagree?
No, I do, but you're not worried about Raheem Mostert, about hot hand approaches, Jeff Wilson coming back, having a three-headed nightmare, or do you just believe in enough in Trey Sermon for him to just get going and for him to develop the hot hand and just roll with it?
I mean, I don't see why they would have drafted Trey Sermon unless they plan on giving him the opportunity to run with the ball. Raheem Mostert, when is the last time he was – played a 16-game season. And as far as Jeff Wilson, he's got a long injury history too. I feel like it's the kind of situation. I mean, if we saw some of the games last year where we had no-name running backs, you know, being the primary ball carriers for the 49ers at stretches, we have Trey Sermon, who's a rookie, you know, we're bullish on. The 49ers are bullish on. We have Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, who have extensive injury histories. We have a young quarterback, you know, who's going to need a running back to lean on, and you know, running back who's going to be able to handle a lot of carries. I feel like Trey Sermon offers a lot of upside.
Do you know how we know that that team that I drafted using version 1.3 of the cheat sheet's going to be no damn good? Look at this trash, man. Fantasy Pros.
They love it.
Fantasy Pros gave it an A plus, so you know we're completely screwed. All right, how about another one of these? How about another one of these late round picks? Trey Sermon feels mid round. Trash man, these people want to hear the trashy picks from you. Trey Sermon's a little bit.
Giovanni good. Bernard.
Oh, trash man, you really wanted to take Gio? You're gonna waste a pick on Gio?
Hey. We have a Tom Brady offense.
And even my daughter will tell you that he's too shrimpy.
We have a Tom Brady offense. We know how much Tom Brady loves a pass-catching running back. And is there – I mean, if we're talking about, you know, pass protection and the ability to catch the ball, Giovanni Bernard is well worth his salt. And he's on the Super Bowl-winning, you know, team. I feel like there's a lot of – there's going to be opportunity there for Bernard – to produce, especially if Tom Brady likes him. If Tom Brady likes him, then he's going to be on the field. And Tom Brady loves pass-catching running backs. And is there a more prototypical pass-catching running back in the NFL than Giovanni Bernard?
Leonard Fournette? I don't know. Hey, Gio's going to screw Fournette and Jones. I got no interest in either of those guys for sure. But it's more about me thinking that he's just going to be a pest on their side or a thorn in their side, I should say, than him being a usable fantasy asset. But that's why you're the trash man. Giovanni Bernard, that's got to be the trash. I mean, you got to have a few more of these guys, don't you?
I do.
All right.
All right. James Connor.
Oh, Jesus. Really?
Yes.
You're going to take Connor?
Yes. Who's in front of him?
Chase Edmonds. I wouldn't be surprised if Vino Benjamin overtakes that dude.
No.
He looked horrible last year. What about James Conner, Mr. Oatmeal Pants? Do you think he's going to be any good there? Whenever these guys get old and decrepit like David Johnson used to look, he would just run them into the back of the center.
Okay, I mean, I'm just talking about a path to carries for James Conner. James Conner, I think, is a more prototypical goal line back than Chase Edmonds.
And you know, I will say that Chase Edmonds, whenever he's gotten the opportunity, has only failed to let us down once in that game 2 seasons ago versus the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, like Chase Edmonds, if you consider Chase Edmonds to be, you know, to be a high caliber, you know, top 10 running back, then maybe no, James Conner.
But get the fuck out of here, right? if you consider that, get out of here. I don't really want to hear from you because Chase Edmonds isn't a top 10 caliber, you know.
Talent. He's not, and we've seen that James Conner can be.
James Conner certainly will not be. He's past.
Like, I'm not saying that he will. I mean, he had a bad season. He had a bad season.
He had a miserable.
But it was a bad season. And Chase Edmonds, really, up until last season, nobody thought really much of Chase Edmonds as a three down back. That wasn't even in the conversation. I just feel as a path to carries, as a path to touches, I feel like James Conner has it.
And I feel like he's had two bad seasons. Because 2019 was
he's had a bad season and a half. He's had a season and a half that was bad.
Well, because he only played – what did he play? How many games did he play in 2019? He missed a bunch. So he played 10 games in 2019. He went for 464 and 4 touchdowns. He had – what was his total yardage? In that year, he had 251 yards receiving that year. So he had 715 total and over 10 games in his age 24 season. He had 936 and 6 touchdowns in his age 25 season just this last year. So he had two kind of bad seasons. The 2019 season was injury marred. I feel like it feels like 2018 was age 23 season was that, you know, 1470 yard, 13 touchdown deal. We've seen him be really good. And now that I look at it, I mean, James Conner is a little bit younger than I had remembered. I thought he was more like an age 27, age 28 season type guy. We are just looking at a season where he is just now to what our friends over at Player Profiler, like the Podfather, call the age apex for these running backs, which is right there, right before age 26. So he's not necessarily set to fall off the big cliff if his body's
He didn't really get started until a little bit later in his career.
I'm just not sure his body's right, man.
We're talking about late picks, and we're talking about a path to carries, a path to major touches. All he has in front of him is Chase Edmonds.
No, I guess I get it. Where are you comfortable taking James Conner?
You said late round picks. Would you say, taking him in the 14th round?
Okay, I think he's going to go before that.
You think so?
He's going to go before that. Would you take him in front of, say, let's just see here. Let me just look and see what. Let's say we have. All right. Well, how about if we just talk? Like, what about where would you have him in a mix of guys like David Johnson? And would you have him above David Johnson, or guys like Ronald Jones or Fournette or guys like that? Like, are those guys you want more?
I think those guys we've seen.
To me, I don't want any of them.
We've seen their ceilings.
What about Kenyon Drake? Would you rather have Kenyon Drake sharing a backfield with Josh Jacobs?
I would.
You would. Okay. What about guys like Nyheim Hines? Would you rather have somebody like that?
In a PPR, maybe. PPR. James Conner, I mean, he might be the goal line guy for the Cardinals.
No, I mean, I could definitely see it. Would you rather have James Conner than Devin Singletary?
No. I mean, that's an argument.
I think in most drafts, James Conner will be gone by the time you get to round 10. Round 10 or 11. So, I mean, it's still a late round pick. But I think even though you kind of like him, I think you won't even end up – I think he'll go a little bit earlier than you think. Even though he'll be
if I go zero running back, then he might be a guy that I'd take.
I'd love to hear some of your zero running back guys. All right.
Hey, I won our lead last season on it, on an unintentional zero running back draft.
Why don't you just use the cheat sheet? You're like a co-founder at Roster Watch.
I did use a cheat sheet. It ended like. Running backs, I guess, were at a premium, and I was taking the best players available, and they were wide receivers.
All right. What do you got? One more of these guys, two more of these guys. What do you want to do?
I mean, like, if you got Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill. I mean, you're going to take Tyreek Hill or Davante Adams ahead of most running backs.
You had Tyreek and Davante Adams on that team last year?
Yes.
No wonder you won the damn league. Jesus.
AJ Dillon.
Really? You're on AJ Dillon?
Jamal Williams left 150 touches on the table in Green Bay. And considering the quarterback situation, I think they're even run heavier this season.
Makes sense. Do you think, were you impressed with anything that you saw out of AJ Dillon last year? And do you think that he's, what if it's Jordan Love at quarterback? I mean, we did hear the word from minicamp that Jordan Love was with, Davante Adams missing and basically all the wide receivers missing. Aaron Rodgers missed. They all missed. It was a dump off fest from Jordan Love to AJ Dillon. You think that's going to continue?
I think it's well within the realm of possibilities. You know, was Jamal Williams any kind of premium talent, you know, for coming into the league? We liked him, but we didn't think he was a better caliber than like an AJ Dillon.
What is AJ into the league? What is AJ Dillon's legitimate ceiling for the year of our Lord 2021? Can he finish as an RB2?
An RB3 with upside. I think it could be a situation where you're putting him in your flex every week.
Every week? AJ Dillon?
Potentially. if Jordan Love is under center, and if he's getting double digit touches on a weekly basis, and he's a guy you can leave in on the goal line. Jamal Williams is leaving 150 touches, and if we feel like they're going to run the ball more this season, then if you're thinking like you could be close to 175 touches, then yeah, I feel pretty decent about taking Jordan Love later in the draft.
Jordan Love too.
I mean, I'm sorry, hey, AJ Dillon. I'm sorry,
Trash Man. Well, if you have one takeaway from this episode, it's the Trash Man, of all of his late round targets, the one he feels most comfortable with is taking Jordan Love.